Father, we adore you. We adore your presence. We give you all the praise and all the honor. We ask for the spirit of revelation. Give us a holy baptism into your word. We will never be the same again. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We want to zoom into the Word of God. And this morning, I believe that your life will never be the same again. Come on, I said, I believe that your life will never be the same again. Are you ready for the Word? Now, last week we began to look at the three pursuits of the manifestation of glory. Now, we need to understand that this year is a year of glory. Please tell those who are praying upstairs that they can come to the back and come and pray so they can hear the Word of God. So the protocol can inform them that they should come and then pray at the back, get a chair for them to pray at the back. And we said that the first pursuit for the manifestation of glory in the life of every child of God is wisdom. Now, I need you to understand that you don't have a financial problem, you have a wisdom problem. You don't have a health problem, you have a wisdom problem. You don't have a marital problem, you have a wisdom problem. Every major challenge has got its root in wisdom. And I'm sure many people are wondering, what do you mean by wisdom when I'm going through demonic cycles? It takes wisdom to have knowledge. And knowledge is what sets you free. In the book of Isaiah chapter 33, the verse 6, the Bible says, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thine times and the strength of salvation. And the fear of the Lord is his treasure. Now, God tells us as Christians that the stability of our times, what is going to keep us established, what is going to stabilize our lives as Christians, is wisdom and knowledge. And what is going to add strength to our salvation is wisdom. He says that is going to be the strength of salvation. So hear me. If you are a Christian and the spirit of wisdom is not in operation in your life, I'm sorry, your life is just going to be like an ordinary man who is born of a woman. The difference between you and another Christian who is making advancement in his walk with God and life is the level of wisdom that is in operation in his life. Listen, your lifestyle is a product of your wisdom. Are you following what I'm saying? There is a certain kind of knowledge you have. There's a certain kind of wisdom you have applied that is making you behave the way you behave. So if you are here and you smoke, it is a wisdom you have that is making you behave that way. Please, are you following what I'm saying? If you are here and you have a certain habit or lifestyle, it's as a result of a certain kind of wisdom. Remember, we read in the book of James, chapter 3, from the verse 14 to 17, that there are four kinds of wisdom. We have the earthly wisdom. We have the what? Are you here with me? The sensual wisdom, which is wisdom that proceeds from the flesh. And the third wisdom is demonic or devilish wisdom. So Satan can fill you with the spirit of wisdom that can make you act contrary to the wisdom God expects from you. But that's not my message for today because we are done with that. Please go to our podcast. If you have a pen drive, give the pen drive to the media team and let them copy all the messages for you. If you keep listening, it's just a matter of time. Something will happen to you. We want to look at the second pursuit for the manifestation of glory. The second thing you have to pursue if you want to see the glory of God manifest in your life is what we call power. It's what we call power. So the first pursuit for the manifestation of the glory of God, which means if you are not seeing God's glory in your life, it's not because God is unfaithful. It's not because God is unfair. God has set principles. He has set things in place that should make us manifest glory. And like I said, though we have been called to glory, it is not automatic that our life will reflect that glory. And today's teaching is going to bring us instruction on how to live life. The second pursuit for the manifestation of glory is power. Unfortunately, my generation has replaced power for powder. Power. Tell somebody power. One more time, power. Now, just give me a minute. Let me get something for you. Tell someone power. Now, we need to understand that there are different kinds of power in this world. And everybody is operating by one of them. Hallelujah. Because life moves by force. Life moves by an energy. There is nobody, there's no human being that is not functioning by the influence of a spirit. Hear me carefully. There is nobody in this life that is not living or functioning without the influence of a certain spirit that is beyond him. So there are different kinds of power, but I want to speak more of one kind of power. The first kind of power is relational power. Relational power. Now, what is relational power? Relational power is an advantage you have because you are related or connected to someone. Relational power is an ability or an advantage that you have because you are connected to someone. Hallelujah. So this kind of power influences or affects your life because of your connection or your relation to someone. Today, if someone comes to you to buy something and you ask, what is your name? And he says, my name is Michael Duncan Williams. There is a certain favor that comes upon the person that can even make you say, are you related to Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams? If he says, yes, don't buy it. I won't take money from you. Please take it. It's a certain kind of power. Because you are related to someone. Because you are connected to someone. There are some letters. The stamp on it determines whether it will be accepted or not. There are some letters that breaks the yoke. In fact, it breaks every protocol because of the connection behind it. If the president of Ghana signs on a letter and takes it to the ministries and tells them to give you a job instantly, even if there is no vacancy, they will create a new space for you. Why? Because of relational power. I remember somewhere last year, Pastor Elvis is my very great brother. And we went to do an assignment in Kumasi. So I went together with him. And we used the Kotoka International Airport and we used the Kumasi flight. Now, because of how popular he is, when I was walking with him, immediately they saw him. They took us straight to the VIP. We were only going to Kumasi. We were not traveling outside the country. Once they saw him, immigration, they started kneeling down for him to pray for them, and I was just following like that. And they took him straight. So we all joined and they took us to the VIP. They said we should relax, put air condition on us, and give us drinks. The same thing when we arrived. A car was already waiting for us. Moved to the place. When we came back, the same VIP. 4 months later, I was going for a funeral at Kumasi, and I was alone. I bought my ticket, and I said, please, sit here. Sit here, sit here. And I removed my nose mask if they will remember me. Sit here. I said, please, I'm looking for terminal. Terminal what? Pass here. I waited with the ordinary people at the airport for 2 hours. And I called him. I said, my brother, who are he? I called, I said, bro, I thought I could have the same favor. Next time, if I'm coming to go to Kumasi, I'll call you for you to make some calls for me. But that is what we call what? Relational power. This year before it ends, God is about to give you a certain relationship, a certain connection. Listen, I am prophesying. God is about to connect you to someone in this year. And the same place you went and you were rejected, it's the same place you went and you were not treated well, the same place you went and you were disappointed, that is the same place you go and they will salute you because of relational power. That is your portion in the name of Jesus. I see that happening in 24 hours in your life. Shout relational power. Be seated. But you see, in relational power, there is still a limitation. You know why? Because the person you are related to, if anything happens to him, if he loses that status, loses that position, in case he even dies, that power dies along with that person. So that one is limited. The second kind of power is what we call intellectual power. Now, what is intellectual power? Intellectual power is the academic influence a person has over another. It is an academic influence that one has over another, or is the high development of the brain which gives one an advantage over another. It's the high development of the brain which gives one an advantage over the other. So intellectual power is a power or ability one has because of the high development in his brain. His brain capacity. He has done his master's degree, master's, second degree, PhD. He's now a professor. He's now an engineer. Now, the reason why students will pay school fees for a lecturer to teach them is because the lecturer has intellectual power. The reason why a patient will remove his drawers for a doctor to examine him, which he won't do for another, is because of what? Intellectual power. Oberon. Because who young one? We call that intellectual power. I'm teaching you there. But you see, even intellectual power is still limited. Why? Because it can expire. A time will come, they will not need your knowledge. The day you have stroke, nobody will mind you. So intellectual power is not enough. Number three is what we call physical power. Physical power is the natural strength that we acquire through bodybuilding. Physical power is the natural or physical ability or energy or strength that we acquire through bodybuilding. So, everybody can acquire physical power. If you know how to exercise, you can have physical power. If you know how to exercise, you can have huge muscles. If you have physical, if you know how to gym, you can have some strength that is beyond the ordinary human being. You can lift things other people will struggle to lift. You can be employed as a bouncer. The ladies will love it when you shake your chest like that and they move boom, 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 boom. And they'll be like, oh, I like that six pack. But the challenge with physical strength or physical power is that you can be thick, tall, 6 feet tall. You can be thick, strong, And a 10-year-old witch will use you for experiment. A 10-year-old professional witch can just appear in your dream, and that macho can't do anything. The witch will brush your neck 10 years. So natural power cannot do spiritual business. You can be a land guard, but not a spiritual guard. So we need to understand that even physical power has limitation. Bodily exercise profited little. That means there is profit in it, but it is little. It is limited. There is the 10th level of power, or fourth. The fourth level of power is what we call economic power. Economic power. What's economic power? It is an individual, a firm, or a country having access to wealth. It is an individual, a firm, or a country having access to wealth, monopoly power, and superior technology. It is what? An individual or a firm or a country having access to wealth, monopoly power, and superior technology. So there are nations that have economic power. There are individuals that have economic power because of their access to wealth, monopoly power, and superior technology. America is a world power because of their economic strength. Russia is a world power because of economic capacity. China is a power. North Korea is a power. Why? Because of their economic strength. Are we following this thing? And then there is the final power, which we call spiritual power. Spiritual power or supernatural power. Now, this power is actually the ultimate because its source is God. Spiritual power is the ultimate because its source is God. Now, you need to pay attention to what I'm about to teach you from here. Even the power in the devil was outsourced from God. So, the Bible tells us that all power belongs to God. Which means satanic powers, witchcraft powers, occultic powers proceeded from God, but it has been corrupted by the recipients of that ability. Satan's power came from God, but when he fell, his power was corrupted, but that power still came from God. Please, are you following what I'm saying? So any juju man you see, any occult man you see, any witchcraft you see, the power they are using to operate was coming from God, only that it has been contaminated and it has been defiled and it is being used for evil. The challenge about power is that you can use it for good or evil. You can use it to build or destroy. You can use it to construct or distract. That's the power of power. So we want to look at spiritual power. What is spiritual power? Spiritual power is the supernatural ability to produce God's dimension of results. Spiritual power is the supernatural ability to produce God's dimension of results. By the time we are done with this teaching, you will understand that power is not only in men of God. And power is not only in falling down. It is a supernatural ability to produce God's dimension of results. Which means that any result that is produced in God's realm is what spiritual power does. The dividing of the Red Sea was an ability that came from the dimension of God's results. Number two, spiritual power is the supernatural ability to bring into manifestation results of the God or spirit realm. It is the supernatural ability to bring into manifestation results of the God or spirit realm. So when we are speaking of spiritual power, we are speaking of a supernatural ability that brings a man or someone into manifestation of the results that is in the spirit realm only. There are some results when you see, you will know that these results are only coming from another realm and not from the earth realm. We know the results of the earth realm, and we also know the results that are not from the earth realm. Any result or manifestation that proceeds from the God realm of the spirit realm is what we call power. If someone disappears, we know naturally it is not normal for someone to disappear. So if someone disappears, that means a supernatural realm is in operation. Number three, spiritual power is the solid backing of the Holy Ghost. It is the solid backing of the Holy Spirit and angels in the life of a believer. This is more direct. It is the solid backing of the Holy Spirit and angels in the life of a believer. That's what we call power, spiritual power. So that backing can be in favor. Favor is a certain kind of power. It can be in protection. It can be in enlargement. So when God is backing a man through the power of the Holy Ghost, we call that supernatural power. May the Lord back you in this year. You see, I'm talking to a dead church now. I said, may the Lord back you in this year. May the Holy Ghost be your supernatural backing in the name of Jesus. Now, finally, spiritual power is the display of God's omnipotence in a situation. It is the display of God's omnipotence in a situation. When we say someone is omnipotent, we are saying the person is all powerful. So the display of the omnipotence of God in a situation is what spiritual power is. The display of the omnipotence of God in a situation. Hallelujah. Are you blessed by the word already? Psalm 66, verse 3. Psalm 66, verse 3. Now, the Bible says, say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves unto thee. So, this is a revelation of the omnipotence of God. And that ability of God, which makes him omnipotent, is what makes spirits subject themselves to him. We see the display of power in creation. Out of nothing, God commanded light, commanded the seas, the stars, the moon, the Milky Ways, the rivers, the galaxies, the planets. This was a display of power. So creation is a display of God's power. That ability that divided the Red Sea was the display of God's power. The challenge between Elijah and the Baal prophets, whereby Elijah called fire upon the sacrifice and it came from heaven, was a display of power. And if Elijah did not display that power, they wouldn't have honored God. Listen to me. It is the power of God that makes people honor God through you. It is the power of God that makes witches run when your case is mentioned in their camp. we need to understand why we need power so badly as Christians. Why do we need power? Oh my goodness, you'll be blessed. Why do we need power? Now you see, it is after you get born again, after some few months or years, that you realize that being born again doesn't solve all your spiritual problems automatically. When you are born again, the born again experience doesn't solve all your spiritual problems automatically. And that is something many of you have not realized. Now listen to me. When Israel entered into the promised land, there were still patches on the land. So they were in the promised land, but there were still squatters on the land. It took time for Israel to drive them one after the other. So when you enter into your promised land of salvation, it does not mean the battle of your life is over. You only began a new journey from a new realm. That is salvation. You only began a new battle from a new realm. That is salvation. And you see, Satan did everything so that you will not be born again. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. The Bible says, if our gospel is hid, it is hid to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel, which is the image of Christ, should shine upon them. So Satan does everything possible to blind you. That is why when someone is preaching the gospel, those times before you got born again, when someone is preaching to you, you are angry. Someone is preaching to you, you think the person is wasting your time. Meanwhile, he's preaching truth and light. Satan blinded you. He didn't make you see the truth. Now God helped you. You got born again. Satan says, I have to change my tactics because now you are in Christ. So listen to me. See, when you got born again, Satan only changed his strategy. His attack is still the same. So now the plan of Satan is to make sure that now that you are born again, you will never acquire any real testimony in Christ. Your life and the word of God will never be in alignment. So there is a reason for power, and you need to listen to this teaching. Number one reason why you need power. We need power, number one, because we live in an evil world system that is contrary to serving the Lord. You need power because, number one, we live in an evil, corrupt world system that is contrary to serving the Lord. I repeat myself. Number one, we need power because we live in an evil world system that is opposite or contrary to serving the Lord. In the book of 1 John chapter 5, the verse 19, the Bible epitomizes to us that we know that we are of God. That is a reality that is true. But it goes on to say, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Listen, we are living in a wicked world. That is why we need power. We are living in a world which has a system that is corrupt, a system and standard values that are ungodly. So we need to understand that ever since the fall of man, the world has never been the same again. We saw evil. Cain killed his brother. In the book of Genesis chapter 6 from the verse 5, the Bible says God saw the wickedness of the heart of man and wondered. He regretted for creating man and said he has to destroy him. So after the fall, the world was never the same. The standards of the world, the values of the world, the immorality of the world, and the materialism of the world is now in opposition to a Christian who wants to serve the Lord. Creation has been corrupted. In the book of Romans chapter 8, the verse 19 to 21, the Bible teaches us that for the earnest expectation of creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now look at that. He says, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected it in hope, telling us that what Adam did in the garden has corrupted every single thing. Even lions were not made to feed on man, the fall caused it. Mosquitoes were not made to produce malaria, the fall caused it. The world system changed, digressed, it mutated. The system became corrupt. So the reason why you need power is because of the evil world system that we are living in. May God deliver you from this present evil world. The Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 1 verse 4, I love that verse because it warns me. The Bible says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from what? The present evil world. Which means this world presently is what? Evil. If you don't know this, you will not quest for power. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 2, Apostle Paul prayed that we be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all men have faith. So we are living in a world where there is wickedness. There are wicked men. The last time in one boy's room, who he rented the house, they only see him in the evenings. One day they don't know what happened, and they were looking for a young boy who got missing from the compound house, only for them to force and bang into his room, and they realized that he has been killing human beings and then putting their bodies in his fridge in his house. He supplies body parts to people. So the one of the tenants in the house has a 10-year-old boy who has been walking. He killed the boy, and they saw the boy's body there. When they opened the freezer, they saw human legs, human heads, human hands. Wickedness. Listen, you need power because someone can kidnap you. The Bible says that we be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Listen, it's not about how careful you are. You can drive carefully, but the foolishness and carelessness of another man can cause your downfall. You can be careful, but someone's carelessness can be the reason for your untimely death. There are wicked men. An armed robber will enter someone's house. He will not only steal, but rape the family and leave them. That's the wickedness of men. That's why we need power. We need power. Tell somebody we need power. May the Lord deliver you from unreasonable and wicked men. You didn't hear me. I said, may the Lord deliver you from unreasonable and wicked men. Anybody with wicked intentions against your life, to take your life, to rob you, to destroy your life, by the hand of God, by the power of God, I command it to be aborted and negated in Jesus' name. This year you'll be safe. This year you'll be in safety. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every plan of darkness against your life will not stand. Shout Jesus. I'm teaching good here. So we need power because of the evil world we're living in. Number two, we need power because Satan and his demons are actively in operation. I may stay here for some time. We need power because Satan and his demons are in active operation. If you are a child of God here who is not aware that we are in a spiritual war, then I don't know what you are calling Christianity. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Are you not scared to hear the word fight? Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of Christ, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Listen to me, there is a war in the spirit. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. God is telling us we must be strong in him and in the power of his might. Why? He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. He goes on to say that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, and against principalities or against spiritual wickedness in the heavenly realms. So in all the realms of this world, there are demons, satanic powers that are operating. Just like in the military, there are soldiers who walk on ground. There is the Navy who are in the sea, and there is the Air Force who are in the air. Satan has organized the same strategy. Demons operate on the earth. Powers, spiritual wickedness in the heavenly realms that operates in the Atros and the Mazaros. In the heavenly perspectives. So listen, this whole world is contaminated with demonism. You need power. The food that are sold in the market, I was listening to a tape the other time, and they said one of the dangerous portals of demonic manipulation is the market. Because a lot of witches who have witchcraft meetings and sacrifice human bodies, turn the human bodies into goat meat, and they sell it in the market. And someone will go and say, "Mami, nipanam 5 CDs. Meanwhile, he's seeing goat meat as a human body. And the plan and agenda is that when they eat the human body spiritually, it contaminates them. It destroys their prayer life. It corrupts their soul and makes them effective in their service of God. Listen to me, you need power. Tell somebody you need power. Come on, tell somebody you need power. So without power, the devil will make you a captive and a slave. Listen to me, Satan has a mission statement. The thief cometh not but to what? To steal, number one. To kill, number two. And to destroy, number three. Paul says that we wanted to come to you, but Satan hindered us, number four. So Satan hinders. Satan roams like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So Satan is also a devourer, number five. So we are dealing with an enemy who is a thief, who is a killer, who is a destroyer, who is a hinderer, and who is a devourer. Look at these five words qualifying and describing the modus operandis of Satan. Which means if you mess up as a Christian, if you live without power, Satan will steal from you, kill you before your time, destroy your life, hinder you from making progress, and devour you without power. May the Lord empower you this morning. I'm teaching good here. In Ephesians chapter 2, the verse 1 and 2, when you read the Bible, says, "You he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." So he's telling us that the Holy Ghost quickened us in our spiritual death. And the next verse goes on to tell us, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of the world and according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit which now worketh in the children of disobedience." So Satan has taken over the air. I'm telling you, it is infused with darkness. So you need power. The Bible calls him the god of this world. That means the world systems are under his control. So you need power. You need power. Number three, why do you need power? Because the spirit realm is power dependent. You need power because the spirit realm is power dependent. What do I mean by power dependent? I mean that the spirit realm is the language. In fact, power is the language of the spirit realm. Power is the language of the spirit. Hear me carefully. Spirits don't understand English. They don't understand Greek. They don't understand Hebrew. They understand power. Your great, 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 great grandfather offered you and your entire generation to an idol 50 years ago. And you think you can use English language to deal with it? You know, some people think when they leave their family house and they travel to abroad, they are free. For your information, witches fly. And every covenant is a legality. If the pattern in your family is that nobody marries, even if you travel to Europe, that legality is still in operation. Listen, distance is not a barrier in the spirit. I hope you are aware. You need power because power is the language of the spirit. Listen, spirits don't speak English, oh, they speak power. Do you know it didn't take English language to bring Israel from Egypt? Go and check your Bible. When Moses went with English, "Let my people go," go and check. Pharaoh increased their labor 2 times. When he went and said, let my people go, he was thinking when God told him to tell him to let my people go. And he told him immediately. Pharaoh said, wow, Moses. Fine boy. Oseba, dear Israel, go and read your Bible. He called that they must double their labor. And Moses went back to God and said, God, I thought you said I should tell Pharaoh to let your people go. And now they have doubled it and the Israelites are insulting me. Before Moses was given an instruction by God, what are you holding? Rod. Go with the rod. It was when there was a display of power. In fact, 10 continuous miracles. And Pharaoh says, you know something? Let them go. So the spirits in Egypt allowed Israel to go because of power, not because of English. So captivity does not answer to degree in Lagos. Captivity answers to what? A display of power. Now, Israel was in captivity for 430 years. Egyptians had all kinds of powers in operation. For you to go and confront the Egyptian power, you must go with another power. And most of you don't know that there was a far power in your family before you were born. So for you to override that power, there must be a counter power you must build by divine audacity. I command every weak person here to respond to the power of God. Anything that has kept your prayer life weak, anything that has kept your spiritual life weak, tonight I lift it off your life and I command the power of God to come upon you now. In the name of Jesus, rise up and shout power! Power. Be seated. Until power moves, you will move. Demonic covenants that have been established for decades doesn't go by English. I know of a story where a mother, in fact, before she was a young lady, she took someone's husband by juju powers. And after taking the husband to the person, the condition of the legality was that once you have the man, which you have, all the children that you give birth with the man will never have babies. And she agreed. The children have grown. This is a true story I'm telling you. The children have grown. None of them have given birth. None. That's a legality. So as long as he and the man are still in connection, the children will never have children. If you are in such a covenant, will you tell me, greater is he that is me, I'm a new creation in Christ, everything is finished. Eh? You are finished. I'm telling you. There are some of you when they give birth to you, it was a fetish priest that did your dedication. And he used red cloth to just cover. Then they were dancing at the wall And the spirit came. The spirit all came. You were present there. And the spirit all baptized you together. And you are now 15 years. You want to prosper? You always have a dream, a spirit is sleeping with you. And when you went to school, they told you it's adolescent stage. They call it wet dreams. And you say, Matthias here. Oh, sorry, no, Ghana map. Ufri Ghana. Then you wake up, it says, no, they said it's wet dreams. Normally, when you are an adolescent, normally, banesa na wapipiegu, normal. My brother, why is it that when I encounter power, it has never happened again? Meanwhile, those times, you don't understand it. See, any spirit sleeping with you, today is the last day. You know why? Because a strong power is coming upon you. In fact, some of you, because it is normal, you have accepted it. I surrender all to you. Just give it to me and let me go my way. It has become normal for you. You don't understand. You have a dream. Someone is chasing you. The person is chasing you. And you are running, 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 running. And the person will catch you. The person will beat you. Bah, bah, bah. You wake up. Your neck is paining you. The challenge is a power problem. You have a dream. You're in your hometown. You have a dream. You're wearing an old school uniform. Listen, let me tell you something. I'm going to be teaching very soon on Friday service. There are 10 specific dreams. Anytime you have those dreams, it is war. Anytime you have those dreams, it is war. You can't be eating. We are living in a demonic world. Listen to me. Listen, this whole world is controlled by spirits. No man is strong. Every thriving man you see is being helped by a spirit. That's what ministers will kill a bull and bury it for vote. That is why, listen, every strong businessman who wants to survive must consult a spirit. That's why if you're a Christian businessman and you don't have an altar in the house of God, I'm sorry, you will rise and fall consistently. If you really want to rise in business, you need an altar. I'm teaching you something serious. When you have profit, you won't give your tithe from the business. Meanwhile, thanksgiving is given every single time by people who are servicing demonic altars. Every month, every week, every year. And the Christian will have his, chop it, have it, chop it, have it, chop it. We don't understand spiritual things. You need power. Tell somebody you need power. You know, there's one. Was it Chris? Were you the one who was telling me that there was one of these? Is it Steve Jobs or something? Who said there are two spirits that appear to him and teach him? Were you the one who told me? Who is that? You forgot his name, but it's one of these. He's a scientist, one of these popular scientists. He said when he's there, the inventions he has been doing, there are two spirits that appear to him and they teach him, put this together, you have this. Put this together, you get this. Put this together. So the two spirits appear to him and teach him. So any invention you are seeing, there's a spirit helping him. Haven't you realized that some inventions you see and you realize this cannot be human knowledge? No. No. All this Facebook, Instagram, they were demonically employed to be able to galvanize the whole world. So now Satan does not have a problem with monitoring you. I'm telling you the truth. If he's looking for Cecilia, he goes to Facebook. All your pictures are there. Your firstborn, your thirdborn, your fourthborn, she's there. So Satan just gets all the information because he has designed a system that can trap information. And you see you and your pictures like this. Listen, you need power. So that the day they call your name from Facebook, Jesus will appear and say, open it. Open it. Fear! You need power. Tell somebody you need power. Tonight, anyone who mentions your name from an evil camp, Jesus will appear to them. In the name of Jesus, Jesus will appear to them now. Number four, you need power because Jesus told his disciples to tarry until they are enduring power. You need power because Jesus told his disciples to tarry until they are endued with power before they start the work of ministry. Luke chapter 24, the verse 49. Luke 24, 49. And behold, I send you the promise of the Father, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Listen, the apostles had walked with Jesus, so they had a certain kind of knowledge. They knew what Jesus was preaching. After Jesus died, they could immediately go also and start preaching the same things they heard their master preach. But Jesus was telling them something. He said to them that tarry, wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power, to tell them that you can never be an effective witness of Jesus Christ. You can never live as a witness of Christ without endowment of power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 4 verse 33, the Bible says, and with great power they gave the apostles witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus. Listen, for you to be a witness of Jesus, you need great power. So the apostles functioned only when they were empowered. Number 5. You need power to live the victorious Christian life. Why do you need power? You need power to live the victorious Christian life, overcome the flesh and life challenges. You need power to live a victorious life, overcome the flesh and life challenges. Galatians chapter 5, the verse 17. The Bible says something interesting. He says, for the flesh lusted against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, which means that in every man, in every Christian, there are two opposing forces. The force of the flesh and the force of the spirit. So the Holy Ghost being in you is not automatic victory in Christian life. So the Bible is telling us that these two forces are always fighting against each other, so that you will not be able to do the things that you want to do. So listen to me. You will need power to be able to overcome the flesh. You need power. Philippians chapter 4 verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Which means your ability to do comes from Christ's strength, Christ's ability. 1 John 4:4, little children, you have overcome them. Ye are of God and you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So who lives in you determines the victories. Now, we need to understand that what we were before we were saved tends to draw us back into the old life, which does not honor Christ. Now, this is what I'm trying to say. If, for example, before you found Christ, you were an addict, you were a prostitute, you were a weed smoker, you were a womanizer, and you found Christ, don't think because you are in Christ you can't go back to it again. Listen to me. You will need power to be able to remain in the place Christ has placed you, because Satan can bring you back into your former habit. He can bring you back into your former addiction. He can bring you back into your old life. So without power, you will still go back to your old way of life. That is why there are some Christians here listening to me. The things that you were doing before you found Christ, it seems you are still doing them. You are still watching pornography movies. You are still watching things that don't bring honor to God, because the power to help you to overcome it is not yet activated. Thank you, Jesus. So you need power to overcome. Now, let me do this in 5 minutes. 5 powers that God has provided for the believer. I'm going to mention them, and next week I'm going to explain it. Now, every believer must understand that because God knows that you will struggle without his help, because God knows that without him you can do nothing, he has committed 5 ultimate powers for you as a Christian, for you never to fail in this life. Which means when you find yourself failing in any area, it's because you have not appropriated any of these 5 powers in your life. Can I mention them for you? All right. Number one is the power of the indwelling spirit. The first power that God has made available, that God has provided for every child of God, is what we call the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. That's your first power. Doing it in 5 minutes, and I'll explain when the 5 minutes are up. I'll continue next week. Number two is the power of the Word of God. Number three is the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Number four is the power of prayer and Christ's intercession. The power of prayer and Christ's intercession. And the fifth power is the power of the name of Jesus. There are five powers that God has given as a provision to every believer so you don't fail in this life. So no sin can defeat you. So no devil can defeat you. The first power is the power of the indwelling what? Spirit. Second power is the power of the Word of God. The third power is the power of the blood of Jesus. Fourth power is the power of prayer and Christ's intercession. And the fifth power is the power of the name of Jesus. Please don't joke with this teaching. Don't joke. I want you to remember these five powers. It's given already. It's not something God is about to give. He has given it to you already. It's already available, but now you must access them by revelation. That's what I'm going to teach you. What is the first power God has given to you? Power of what? The indwelling spirit. Now, where is the Holy Ghost? Where? The Holy Ghost is in you. So that should tell you that you already have a certain power already within you. Why is it that you have the Holy Spirit and a demon is pressing your neck? Why is it that you have the Holy Spirit and you are still living in addiction? That is what I want to teach you today and next week. And the reason why you have these five powers is because of the resurrection power of Jesus. Now, so the resurrection power of Jesus is vested in these five powers. These five powers came to you because of the resurrection of Jesus. So listen to me. The first power is the power of the Holy Ghost. If you don't know how to utilize the ability of the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God, you won't see much happen in your life. All the victories of Israel, check your Bible carefully, they began to happen when God appeared to Israel in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. There were two symbols. The cloud was a picture of the presence of God. The fire was a picture of the power of God. So Israel operated with the cloud, presence of God, and with the fire, power of God. And it was that pillar that led them. It was that pillar that fought for them. It was that pillar that brought them victory. As long as the pillar was there, their provision to eat manna was constant. Are you following what I'm teaching you? Now in the New Testament, you don't have a pillar, you have a person. When you believe Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost comes to live inside you as a person, and the Holy Ghost comes to empower you with power and divine ability. But we need to understand that there are things we can do to activate the power of the Holy Spirit. Now let's go through it again before we close. What are the five powers God has provided for you? Number one is what? Let me hear you. The power of the indwelling spirit. Number two, the power of the Word of God. Number three, the power of the blood of Jesus. Number four, the power of prayer and Christ's intercession. Number five, the power of the name of Jesus. So next week, I'm going to be explaining this for you to understand how you can utilize these powers. Then from there, I'm going to give you about 7 keys of accessing the power of God. Listen, hear me carefully. I need to warn some of you as your spiritual father. It's good to listen to other teachers, but hear me carefully. God has given you a pastor and a teacher. Never listen to any man of God above your pastor. Listen to other teachers, but listen to your pastor more. And there is a reason why I have authority to say what I'm saying. Hear me carefully. Every church has their theme for the year, and that theme is a prophetic theme that must bring manifestation in their lives. This year is a year of glory. Everything that you must see as glory is in the teaching I'm giving to you. If you are listening to a prophetic theme that God has given to another man, you'll be edified, but you will not be transformed. So listen to me carefully. You see, most of you take things for granted. Do you know that when Isaac was about to die, he said to Esau, "Go and hunt and bring me food. When I'm done, I'll bless you." When he left, his mother Rebecca came and said to him, "I heard them saying that he wants to bless your brother. I'll show you where you'll get some of the lamb." The lamb was in the house. The animal that Esau was going to look for was in the house. And Rebecca killed it and prepared it, and he took it and took the blessing. And so many of you are looking for things that is already here. You are looking for things. You are laboring, sweating for things outside that God has already given you here. And what is happening is that your life may go in circle because the prophetic agenda of God is in this house. Now, I'm saying this because I prayed and God told me to speak to you about it. You will need to listen to the teachings over, sleep with the teachings, and you begin to realize that something is shifting your life. Don't be a man who follows many people. Hear me carefully. Don't be a man that follows many people. I follow very few, very few. I don't think there are more than 3. And it is only occasionally I listen to them. If you are today you are here, tomorrow you listen to this, tomorrow you listen to this, you will never be established. You'll be hearing revelations, but never established. So I need to warn you as your pastor so that the prophetic agenda of God in this ministry can work in your life, which is a year of glory. The secrets to manifesting glory are in the teaching I'm giving you on wisdom and on power. Have I spoken well? Now we're going to pray. But before we pray, I want to give someone a chance. You don't know Jesus. I made mention of 5 powers that God has made available to the Christian. If you're not a Christian, if you're not born again, you can't experience these powers. Hallelujah. If you are here, you are not born again. I want to give you a chance. As our head is bowed down, everybody just bow down your head. You are here, you are not born again. I want to give you a chance to make it right with Jesus. As everybody has closed their eyes, I want to give you the chance to rise up on your feet. If you are here and Jesus is not in your life, if you are here, you don't know Jesus. You don't know when you will die. Hell is real. Heaven is real. Don't let anybody deceive you. If Christ is not in your life, you will never go to heaven. You will never spend eternity with God. I want to give you a chance to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you're here, you want to receive Christ as your Lord, just rise up on your feet. Oh, I hope I so fire Jesus. Jinao nine so mami. Hope I so fire Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to give you another chance. Don't blow this chance. You want to receive Jesus? This is the hour. This is the time. Thank you, Father, that we are all born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm supposed to do something today, but the Holy Ghost has prompted me to do it next week. Now, please don't forget, next week is going to be two services. One is going to be in the morning. Next week is our final Sunday for July. Now, our anointing and communion service is now the last.